As we are moving in through these busy summer months, Father Peter Julia is joining us once again from the Vocations Office to let us know what our seminarians are doing and what we've got coming up in the next few months for those who want to dive a little deeper in what it is that God is calling them to do. Good morning, Father Peter. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Brenda. Good to be with you guys.
So, Father Peter, you are fresh off of retreat. The priests gathered those that were available for a weekend retreat. I am familiar with your speaker. It was Archbishop Sarton. He was the former Archbishop of Seattle. Tell us a little bit about how that went for you.
It was great. Actually, Archbishop is, he's had many hard jobs in his career, but I think is by far and away his hardest job is to be my spiritual director. And so, so that was actually one of the reasons why when we were looking for somebody for the retreat this year, I was able to get in touch with him and sort of ask him if he was willing to do it. And because he also did the bishop's retreat this year, also at Mount Angel. So he's come out two different times for the priest retreat and the bishops of the region retreat. So he kind of stays active that way because those who know him, he had to retire or submit early retirement because he has a degenerative spine condition, really. And so to stand, you know, he has like three rods in his back, and to stand for the amount of time that you have to stand as a priest and even just doing liturgies is a difficult thing. And so he retired in Arkansas, where he was first named a bishop in Little Rock. And so, he's not in Little Rock, but he's in Arkansas for retirement. And so it was really great to have him there, like selfishly, just because I get to talk to him more. But he's just so great. I mean, he's been doing retreats for so many years that it's just incredible the type of wisdom. Once you're a bishop, the type of wisdom you can pass on to priests. So there's over 40 of my brother priests there. And a lot of guys use that retreat. But then, of course, priests are welcome to do other types of retreats throughout the year. But that's one of the requirements we actually have is like we're required to go on a retreat every year. It's like a canonical requirement for priests. So I don't know if a lot of people know that, you know, about their priests. So don't ever give your priest a hard time for going on his retreat because he actually has to,
you know,
by the law of the church. Yeah.
Well, Father Peter, I think many of us, we recognize we go on retreat to grow in our faith or we learn about a specific topic. I think many of us would be thinking, though, what could a priest learn by going on retreat? Because it's typically the priests that run our retreats. So what are the type of things that you dive into that help you in your ministry?
You know, I think it's like when you think about scripture, how all of a sudden you could have heard a reading a million different times, but then for whatever reason, something still speaks to you like that one day. You're like, this thing stood out to me and it's never stood out to me before. And I think it's the same thing at a retreat. Often a speaker just says something in a way or in a story that you just needed to hear. And it's not you, because you're like, you're the one who's always doing the preaching or the teaching. And so sometimes to actually be the student or the learner, it's kind of nice, you know, to actually sit there and sort of receive.
Okay.
You know, a lot. And so he just has so many different stories of being a priest for so many years of service that there's just a way that they'll say something. I remember one of the things he said was about being sent by the one who was sent. You know, the fact that God the Father sends Jesus the Son and that Jesus sends us, you know, like he commissioned the apostles to actually go out. So being sent by the one who was sent to be like alter Christus, other Christ. It was pretty incredible. So sometimes there's just those phrases that stick out to you. The other thing we talked about, there's the big theological term anamnesis, which is kind of like, it's the idea of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, like Calvary being made present again, right? Like represented again at every single mass. It is like a time warp. Like that one sacrifice happened for all time, for people past, present, and future. In every Mass, Calvary is actually present there. And so it's sort of this idea of you do it as a perpetual memorial. So anamnesis is like to make that present, to never forget that. But then he was talking about the origin of that phrase in Greek is actually sort of like this double negative. It's to not forget. And then he said, and you'll notice it's the opposite of it's where the word amnesia is derived.
Okay.
So to anamnesis is to make something present. Amnesia is to forget. And so one of the things he repeated throughout the retreat was, brothers, do not have amnesia. you know, and it was like, man, and it was just really powerful to hear him say that. And he has a great voice. So there's those people who have like excellent voices. It's a, yeah, it's just like, yeah, brothers do not have amnesia. You know, just to hear that deep, you're like, man, that really just kind of hits you in a certain way, you know?
Wow. Just hearing you say that reminds me of something that I was wishing for, amnesia. Like, I don't want to remember that anymore. Yeah. And what I came to learn was, it's not that God was telling me, I don't want you to not forget. I want you to embrace and understand. Look at this differently with your eyes. I think that is just absolutely beautiful words. And so it's wonderful to know that you are able to go on retreat. You hear these words, you are refreshed. You've got a full summer ahead of you, Father. So it's good that you have that time to kind of stop and refresh. Now, many people are thinking about their summer vacations. Parents are maybe planning camps for their littler ones, but there's some things coming up for the older kids too that really go hand in hand with what you do through your vocations office. One of them, most importantly, is Quo Vadis Days. And another one that's happening here in the local area is Ignite. Both of those events are listed on the vocations page for the Archdiocese of Portland. Tell our listeners maybe more about why it's important that maybe we as parents make opportunity to expose our young people to the different vocations that are available to them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think people talk way more about sort of what do you want to do when you grow up. There's sort of this idea on like more like career or what is it just you want to do out in the world? A lot less than what are you called to sort of be, like a vocationally driven idea. And I think many of these young people, whether they go to Ignite Your Torch or they go to Quo Vadis, it's about your vocation. Like, are you being called to be a married person? Are you being called to be a priest or a religious? It's not about your career, right? You know, it's about the vocational aspect of things. And nobody talks to, teachers don't talk to their kids about that. Maybe if you go to a Catholic school, they might talk to it, because maybe they bring me in to talk about it, or they bring your pastor in or whatever to talk about it. But that's just not the message they receive from the world or really anybody else. And so I think that when they arrive there, the thing that parents would also be surprised about is like, I never knew my son was so prayerful before, right? You know, right. Because you kind of see a version of them that might be, you know, I don't know, you guys have constant exposure to your kids, so you see sure. The worst side of them a lot of the time. But yeah, it's incredible to watch like high school boys stay in a chapel for like holy hour, like all night long. Or like, it's like, did you ever think that your son was capable of sitting in silence with just Jesus for like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? But yet some of those men do that. And it's an opportunity for them to also have kind of a retreat, so to speak. This is a noisy, noisy world, right? And then you're also kind of with like other folks. The same thing for me when we were at retreat, to see my brother priest is really great. And so you get an opportunity to network with like other Catholic people, because who knows, maybe you go to a public high school or a school that there's not a lot of Catholic people. And so you don't really have that support. And so sometimes when you're young, I think it's easy to maybe not want to be Catholic, right? Because, well, none of my friends are, you know, it's that kind of feeling.
Sure.
But when you're surrounded by other people that are Catholic, oh yeah, these guys are all like really fun and cool. And I think it helps support your faith a lot more. And so it's great. Yeah, Quo Vadis is early August this year, and then Ignite Your Torch.
Yeah, and Ignite is coming up July 24th to the 28th. And I know there will also be a number of young people who will be attending the Steubenville Northwest Conference out in Spokane.
Yeah, a lot of good things for young people.
That's coming up July 12th through the 14th. I've had children go to Steubenville Northwest. I've also had a son that went to Quo Vadis Days. I love what you're saying there too, because when children are at home, especially young boys, they take on that role as a child. But when they are taken outside of that and exposed to other Catholics, will they take on more roles and then just kind of look at things differently because of the way that they are able to interact with others. Father Peter Julia joining us this morning, talking a little bit about what is coming up for the Archdiocese Vocations Office. As always, Father Peter, it is a great conversation. I'm coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in the next half hour?
Sure, Brenda.
And I'm back with Father Peter Giulia. Of course, Father Peter is the director of the Office of Vocations here in the Archdiocese of Portland. With summertime coming, his schedule is full and there's so many wonderful events. And he is joining us today to tell us more about what is coming up. Of course, ordinations happen in the month of June, and seminarians and future seminarians are getting their summer assignments and finishing up their application process. Those who have discerned and are thinking about that. You know, last time we talked, Father, you had said that we need to pray for these young men who are applying, because it's at that point too where, boy, the attack is just so great on these young men, because we know the devil does not want more priests in the world. How is that application process coming? Should we still continue to be praying for all
these men? I was actually just praying for them today, and we had a department meeting earlier in the day, like right before I got here. And we always do prayer intentions during that. And that was still my prayer intention at that point. And, you know, a lot of the guys have actually been accepted already, but then there's still, you know, some that have, you know, because you have like references that have to come in, and also transcripts from school that have to come in. So there's a lot of things that are somewhat contingent on other people. So there's the stuff that they need to do, and then there's the stuff that you're waiting for to come in. So it's just so much different material from different places. So yeah, and it is discouraging at some point. Sometimes I'll just like read a question on there, like, Father Peter, I don't know, I think I should get out of this whole process. There's a question, one of the very last questions on the application. It's like, have you ever done something that could cause like scandal to the church, right? And when you read that question, many people have probably done things that could cause scandal to the church, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody can't be a seminarian or can't be a priest, but it is important that you might be aware of it. You think of the famous things like the St. Augustine example, like, well, he had a colorful past, right? So St. Augustine did many things that could have scandalized people in the church. However, you know, like you need to know what you're dealing with, right?
Right.
But even reading a question like that, but, oh, that's it. I'm not cut out for this. I think maybe there's some things. I drank a lot when I was in college and there's pictures of that. It's like, well, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a priest. It's like, are you converted? Are you, you know, like what are the things? But it's important that we realize that. So there's a lot of different points during it that a guy can get discouraged for whatever reason, you know, and stuff. But yeah, it's kind of coming along. We're getting there. But I wish we were a little further along than we are, but it's just like, we're getting close though.
Yeah. Well, we will continue to always pray for those who are applying for seminary. And of course, those who are in seminary, many are done with school now. They have some summer assignments. There was a group of seminarians though that you took, brought together, taught them a little bit of leadership training, yeah, and maybe even got a lesson or two on how to sit properly and fold their napkin on their lap. Tell our listeners about what you guys did.
Yeah, that was a totally new initiative, and God bless one of our parishioners, John Hooper. He's had some really difficult health issues lately, but he became sort of the impetus for this when we started to talk about it. His whole career was in basically like corporate leadership kind of training. And I think a lot of people realize that sometimes when they've retired from their career, you can look up at your priest and see that like he doesn't have a clue how to run the finances and things like that, right? So that's how often professional people end up joining their parish councils or finance councils, because they have an expertise they can offer their priests that might not have that expertise. So we're just trying to prepare the men to be better leaders out in their parishes once they become pastors someday, because I think that that's one of the biggest fears many of the men have, is we learn theology and philosophy, and you don't necessarily learn management of people or management of property or finances or how to lead a team of people, how to lead a school and manage a principal, and you know, all these different things. And so there's a lot there. And so we kind of started something. We have like sort of priest faculty, and we did it for 2 days over at the Griffin Center. And then on the evening of the second day, we had another component, which was done by the wonderful ladies at the Seminary Tea Committee. And they did like a formal etiquette dinner, because, you know, you go to fancy dinners and lunches and teas, sure, and things like that the rest of your life. And so, and I've noticed this a lot with just young people in general, not just seminarians, but man, like the lack of like decorum and respect has just gone out the window.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when you're allowing kids to go to school in pajama pants and stuff like that, then they're probably not thinking about holding the door for one another, or, you know, how they're holding their fork, or how they're greeting people, or writing thank you cards, or so there's a whole entire component of that etiquette piece. So we had like a talk before, and then Gail Wilhelm, who was the chair this past year for Seminary T, she did the whole entire thing because she was a teacher and she's a great teacher. You could tell as soon as she starts talking that she was a teacher. And yeah, and they learned like formal place settings and all these things. And they had a Seminary T, you know, committee person at each table. And it turned out to be this incredible event. And then all the guys and I went out to Camp Rylea out there in Warrenton in between Seaside and Astoria. And that was just kind of like 2.5 days of like fraternity and everything. So it was basically like 5 days of togetherness, some educational and some sort of fraternal.
That's incredible. You think about what our young priests are put in charge of. And you're right, when they have a parish and their ministry and a school and their parishioner, I mean, you're right, it is overwhelming and there's a lot that they have to learn. And it sounds like this is just another great program to help them along in what they will be called to do once they become priests. Father, we know you have two different roles that you take on, of course, with the vocations office and then as also as the chaplain of the Oregon Air National Guard. They keep you trained up. In fact, you've got some training coming up very soon.
Yeah, I have to go back to Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama. Not the best time of year to go to Alabama, but you know, you don't get to pick that a lot of the time. But this is for my basic chaplaincy course. So there are the two major courses I had to do, the officer training school course and then the basic chaplaincy course, which is like what they call your tech school, so to speak. So if you're a mechanic, you know, you go how to like learn how to work on a plane. And if you're doing chaplaincy, you go there. Maxwell has a lot of the like the professional colleges, like Squadron Officer School and Military War College and Officer Training School and the basic the chaplaincy school, all that kind of stuff is there. And so I'll be there for a month, but it's a lot less committing than something like officer, because I'm not a trainee anymore. Like mm-hmm. It's just like I'm a real boy. Like, you know, I'm a chaplain and an officer now. And so actually I'm the head of our class apparently, because I've been a captain the longest. So there's 17 of us in the class. I guess 4 of us are the rank of captain, but I've been a captain the longest. So it's just like, they're like, congratulations, you're in charge of the class. I was like, oh, thanks.
Wow.
You know? So you never know when you'll be thrust into a leadership position.
Father Peter, though, considering all of the theology and training and work that you've done so far, first, I would say it seems appropriate that you would lead this type of training. But is there things that are much different as a military chaplain versus what you do on a priest would do on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's interesting. The priests do seem to have a leg up just because we do these things sort of all the time. You know, I think a lot of other faith traditions, especially Christian ones, they're, you know, they're not used to like daily mass
right,
or something like that. They might have one service on a Sunday and that's it. That might be the extent of their main pastoral ministerial kind of thing. Obviously they do other things, but we preach like all the time, every day, you know, constantly. And so we find that the amount of reps that we kind of put in our ministerial life as priests is like a lot higher than a lot of other faith traditions are, just because of the way. And then also we're not married, so we're just immersed in it a lot more. And so, yeah, it's interesting. But in the military environment, of course, your chaplains have to be available for anybody. So you basically have this thing called like provide or provide for. So obviously I can provide sacraments to actual Catholics who are on a base. So I can celebrate mass and hear confessions and do all of that kind of stuff. But then somebody might come to me and they might have, I don't know, if let's say they have a Jewish background and they're looking for a service to go to. So I try to find the resources. Oh, there's like a local temple in this area that you can go to. Or, you know, maybe you have a relationship with a local rabbi where you can kind of help facilitate it for them. So you basically have to be able to still kind of minister or be there for everybody. So that's a little bit different. Because a lot of people just, I don't know, you know, somebody could be having like some suicidal thoughts or something like that, and they just need to go talk to somebody, and they might not have a faith background at all, and you're still there to speak with them and, you know, to kind of help them out and take some of the next steps. But it's interesting because chaplains are the only position in the entire armed forces that have confidentiality that would be similar to us as Catholics, like the Seal of Confession.
Really?
It's like the only person that you can talk to that would be 100% confidential. So if it's something that might even interfere with your military life, if you tell it to the chaplain, they don't report it in the same ways that it would be if you were to talk to one of the mental health specialists or your commanding officer or something like that. So wow. It is kind of a safe space for a lot of people, is like, talk to the chaplain first and then we'll go from there. And so it is amazing. You're kind of a great hub for a lot of people's difficulties or sufferings or challenges. Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to know, though, that through all of your training, then now you're able to offer it to a whole nother group of people here in our area. So, Father Peter, as always, it's such a wonderful opportunity when we get to have you in studio and we get to talk. Before we go, will you end us in a prayer and your blessing?
Sure, absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together today, and we ask that all, especially who are listening today, may open their hearts and their minds to whatever their vocation may be, especially if that may be a call to priesthood or consecrated life. Lord, we ask you to make those folks courageous in stepping forward to take the next steps in their vocation. But we ask you to be with all of your people, Lord, all of our married people, all of our single people, all vocations that you call, especially be with all of the seminarians who are applying right now, and to those who are still pondering those things, and especially to be with and to bless all of our listeners of modern day. And so I call down your almighty blessing on all of them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Peter, as always, a wonderful, wonderful discussion. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Brenda.